Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
Dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of fudge over there.
Oh, would I like to melt you just once.
Dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
111.
Oh, come on, let's get moving. Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Ed Norton.
Ha, ha! Watch this.
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
I'm January.
And I'm February.
How are you, everybody? Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening? All you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you August Gunthers of the world. You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats.
I envy you, Mr. Cramden. You're young. Life and opportunity lay before you. Oh, things may look a little difficult now, but when you've moved on to higher things, you look back and realize you enjoyed every moment of the struggle.
Little flub.
That's okay.
It's good. We got a flub of the week. The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as
Cedar Knolls, New Jersey.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review, and we'll read them. The home base, non-productive.com/honeymooners. You can also go to the non-productive YouTube channel and listen to all the shows on their YouTube channel, like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. Very important, like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook group.
Yes, the group.
And also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, at Honeymooner1, I got to get more on Twitter and post more stuff, so I apologize to the Twitter guys. And here we go. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. There we go. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we don't have that, but we're going to work on that. But if you want to email us at honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com.
Ha, ha, ha. Aren't they ancient?
We got it back, guys. Yes, we got it back.
It's that new Wi-Fi.
New fandangled machine. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to any of the episodes, scroll down to the bottom, and if you want to give us a buck or two.
Yeah, a buck or two.
Maybe if you want to be really, really generous, you could give us a
$100.
$100. Yes. Or just give us the usual buck.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Okay, let me get, we got to start off with our sponsor real quick, our first sponsor. Yep. And I got to find, where is, and I have a hay.
Hay, 495.
A group of dries and a 475, and here we go. So our number one first sponsor, of course, is Silk City Hot Sauce. And go to silkcityhotsauce.com. Where did this go? Everything just disappeared on me.
Uh-oh. It's that new Wi-Fi.
Get the old one back.
No, I hit something accidentally. I hit on something. Wallet and subscriptions, devices. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I messed up big time. But it's Silk City Hot Sauce. And go to silkcityhotsauce.com and get yourself some of the best hot sauce on the planet. Okay?
That's right.
What you do is you go to silkcityhotsauce.com and you can get all the great hot sauce. And then when you are done, let me see. I got it back, got it back, got it back.
Got to get this back. This is
yes, this is the crucial. Most important part of the show.
It's crucial.
Okay, here we go. And when you go to purchase your hot sauce, there'll be a little spot right in the middle of the checkout thing where you could put a coupon code. And if you put these two letters...
RX
in the coupon code, you get a free bottle. Oh, you get 15% percentage off your order, and then you get a free bottle of
cherry sriracha.
Sorry, I couldn't think of the word.
There we go. There we go. A little bit of timing back.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there, folks. But
were we ever there?
No, we were never there. They're never there. Nobody's ever there. What's going on, Lou?
Joe, 162.
Yes.
We have in the books here?
162.
162, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
wow. And unfortunately, our last full-grown nut, Ron Napolitano.
Rob Napolitano.
Yep.
Napolitano.
He sent us his acceptance speech. And it got lost in the mail somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's because the mailman wasn't riding with Ralph.
That's right.
That's why. So I apologize. I could
maybe
not
find it.
Maybe
he didn't send it to 33 Kosciuszko Street, Kirk Gibson.
But
send it to Himrod Street.
But a great full-grown nut.
Yes.
Otherwise. Yes. So, but before we get into our next full-grown nut, we want to talk about, because today is a special day.
Special day.
Now, we are recording on June 5th.
Right. Today's 5th or 6th? What is today?
It says on the computer. The
that's an old computer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's an old computer.
Let's say yes, your phone.
It's the 5th.
It is the 5th. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There it is right there.
Yep. June 5th.
Friday, June 5th.
And it's a special day.
Yes.
Because it is
National Donut Day.
Donut Day.
So if you got that little drift in the beginning, Joe said, all you August Gunthers of the world, and I came in with my little speech there.
Yeah, exactly.
It
was August Gunther. And of course, National Donut Day. And here's the joke for all of the podcast people. This is one of two.
Two. There's a two-steery in National Donut Day. Okay?
Yes, there are two national. What's the other one in November?
There are two National Donut Days.
Right.
First Friday in June,
yep,
which is today, obviously, mm-hmm, and November 5th.
So no matter what, it's November 5th.
It's November 5th.
Okay, but in June, it's the first Friday in June. National Donut Day. I noticed it today because I was driving by a Dunkin' Donuts, and I saw a thing that said, come in and get a
free
donut.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, where was this when I was a fat guy?
See, yeah,
I never saw a free donut. I would have smashed into somebody pulling in there to get my free donut. Now I got to watch what I eat. It's got to be salad.
Salad.
Which, of course,
come out with a salad donut, you'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. And it's great. When I came to the studio, Cool Pale Green Studios here.
The Cool Pale Green Studios.
Green Studios. I had just come from lunch with my wife.
Your wife.
And I had a salad, of course, because my wife was like, salad.
Salad, Joe.
And I only had half of it, so when I came to the door, I said, Louis, can I please put this parcel in your icebox? And what did you say?
Only if it's worms.
So
you put salad in my icebox?
Oh, my goodness. It just never ends.
No, it doesn't.
It never ends. So, so how cool is that?
Oh, it's great. It's great.
There's a National Donut Day.
We get August Gunther out of it. We got a twos out of it.
Exactly. We get a twos out of this. And little nook for later, we have a bit that we haven't done in a long time.
Yes, we do.
Long time. It's not Many Faces of Ken Lynch.
No. Nope. Ken Lynch is done for a while.
Yep,
because we did him last time.
Yep. So, yes, so that is our first thing that we wanted to talk about. And it's great. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody gets to make the August Gunther jokes.
Yes.
And have some fun. And you know what? If you wanted to, you go get a free donut.
Go free donut.
But you can't go wrong.
And I'm sure somebody's posted something that I haven't seen yet. Oh, yeah. My pen's falling apart. About National Donut Day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what we want to do now is get into the next thing on our list, and I think
we have
number 22.
Oh, 22.
Conti argues too much.
Okay.
And my wife says that. And you guys know what we're doing.
Verily, the Honeymooners podcast knights the full grown nut of the week. Aren't you lucky?
It gives gives me real pleasure to present to you this award.
Ricky Riccardi. That's right. Ricky is, if I may quote Agnes,
yes,
a beast. An absolute beast. Not only does he have a Grammy.
The guy's a Grammy.
The guy's got a Grammy.
A Grammy.
All right? I mean, if that doesn't just warrant him being a full-grown nut of the week, but he's just great. He's phenomenal on the page.
Oh, he's great.
And got to meet him at the convention.
Oh, the convention was great.
Which was very cool.
His brother and his dad?
I think so.
I think Billy's brother and his dad.
Yep.
I know his dad, definitely.
Absolutely. And it might have been his brother, too. Yeah. And great guy, great contributor, and he is the true definition of a full-grown nut. Okay? We could...
And he also knows how to do research, so find out anything we throw to him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Ricky, can you look this up?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. He's definitely what you would call a researcher. And dude, you know what's funny? He won a Grammy.
Yeah, he won a Grammy.
And I actually have part of his acceptance speech for his Grammy. Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard it.
And once again, I want to thank you, you, for presenting me with this.
Somebody in the audience was a little mean, though. Somebody yelled out.
Is this the man who gets the award?
And of course, he responded with,
Me.
How great is it? We're not even doing this about this award. We're doing it about a real award.
Real one. And he had the same reaction.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? One of the things he said during his speech when he won the Grammy was,
there's a lot of full-grown nuts around this house.
So, congratulations, Ricky.
Ricky, well
great guy, cool dude, an absolute beast.
No,
and
nuts.
We are going to give the prime example of what kind of beast he is.
Yes.
And here it is.
Joe's got it. Go.
Now, we last, actually, you know what? He explains it all.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Ricky. Hello, fellow nuts. Just finished listening to the excellent episode 161 and heard Steve's shout out at the end for me to do some research on the writers. Yeah. We always sometimes post stuff to the nuts.
Yeah, we do.
But I think this one, we were specifically like, yeah, this one is going to go to Ricky.
Ricky,
yeah. Because he is a research machine. And it was about the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking about how writers pair up. And we were kind of, you know, curious about that. So for me to research on the writers, I heeded the call. And all I can say is I get pretty good when I get going. Short answer, when the CBS Jackie Gleason show aired the first episode in September of 1952, yes, Marvin Marks and Walter Stone were on the writer staff. They penned so many classic 39 favorites, 16 in all, including A Matter of Life and Death, where they reused the savior jokes for the butcher line from that first CBS sketch.
Right.
He put this could, in a parenthesis, this could be a separate post, but... Did you know that that line appeared in two other Lost episodes?
Okay.
Big capital letter two. But only in Lost Job. Yeah, I wonder what that means.
Ron.
Ron. From 1953 does Alex, but only in the Lost Job from 1953 does Alice explain it, saying that Ralph gets paid on Saturday, the paycheck is gone by Monday, and for the rest of the week, I have to laugh at all of the butcher's jokes so I can... I can buy the meat on credit.
Okay.
So that's what that means.
Okay.
Marks and Stone were there for the whole run up to the Classic 39 and even the season of the Jackie Gleason show that followed with all the musical episodes. Remember, the Jackie Gleason show ran for three full seasons on CBS with the Honeymooners sketches before the Classic 39-50 season. When Gleason premiered on CBS in 1952, he had some other writers, but they didn't last very long. Someone named Howard Harris contributed to 8 sketches in season 2 and then was gone. But then Leonard Stern came in with Letter to the Boss, episode 9 of season 2, which was a big hit and led to more long-form sketches.
Mm-hmm.
Stern stayed for the rest of season 2 and dominated season 3, especially when he teamed with Sidney Zelenka.
Zelenka. Who also wrote for Car 54.
Did he really?
Sid Zelenka, yeah.
That's beautiful. Great little tidbit there. which began the Beat the Clock episode. Their partnership resulted in 14 of the Classic 39. Mm. Finally, there's AJ Russell, who originally served as the troubleshooter, floating between the teams of Marks and Stone and Stern and Zelenka, helping when they were stuck. They call that punching up, by the way.
Okay.
It's called like punching up jokes or just trying to help with the script.
Okay.
Russell joined at the very end of season two and was a big part of season three, finally being paired with Herbert Finn for five episodes at the end of season three. Russell and Finn would go on to write nine of the Classic 39. I've always said that a fun exercise would be create a list of the Classic 50 with the best of the 39 of the best of the 39 and of the lost episodes. The Gleason Show really hit its stride in season three, and with the same exact writers responsible for the Classic 39 just a few months later, some of those sketches can definitely stand along the 39.
Mm-hmm.
Last point, in parentheses, this post is worse than Ralph's Sir Launcelot joke. In an earlier podcast on the songwriters, Louis and Joe wondered if the writers watched the sketches when writing the 39 because that one shared certain aspects with the $99,000 answer. Sure enough, I was going to go through an obscure biography of Gleason written by Jim Bishop in 1956 and found this following passage. Producer Stanley Poss runs through some old kinescopes of the show in hopes that one of them might inspire the writers to a new and clever idea or the subtle theft of an old one. So 30 years before the lost episodes were found, Gleason's writers would pop on the kinescopes when new ideas were percolating.
Okay.
I like how we put that in there.
Percolating, yeah.
Yeah. Which became like especially stressful when Gleason started doing two new shows a week for the 39. But that's a subject for a future post. Say about 6 months from now. In 6 months, Blimp takes off. It's almost done, folks. And it's great.
It's still great.
I was going to email all of this as a here's an item, but didn't want to be solely responsible for another 3 hour episode. And finally, P.S. as a visual, a 1958 Star Ledger article on Gleason's writers focused on Marks and Stone, the last two standing after the glory days. Ricky Riccardi.
Oh, beautiful.
Unbelievable. He is really...
Dusty out in that hall.
Thank you, sir. It's great stuff.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And then all it does for all of us who listen, and whether or not we watch the shows and we do the podcast and listen to the podcast, and when we hear stuff like this, it almost puts it all together.
Yep.
We're like, now we see how they went from one to another, going back. And then coming back forward again, going back to look and say, maybe we could find some gold here.
Yeah.
That's great.
Basically what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
We always need a crossover. We say, oh, we saw that in The Lost.
You
know, and they took it, just even an idea, and just you know, you just...
They fine-tuned it.
Fine-tuned it, yeah.
And then because they were better at the writing, probably because the characters were now polished.
Yep.
And now it's easier to write for a more polished character.
Right.
Ricky Riccardi, you are a beast.
You're a beast.
And thank you very much for this. This
well-deserving full-grown nut of the week.
Absolutely. And
I'm sure that's even more important than your Grammy.
Yes. And although we are saying all these nice things about him, I still feel he would say this.
I am humble.
I'm sure he is, my friend. But Ricky, man, thank you so much, man.
Imagine
you
him being like on a talk show and they said, this is Grammy Award winner and full grown nut of the week.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic.
Full grown nut of the week.
So now we are going to get into one of our, and you know what? I have to say, the next bit is sponsored by thegoods.fun.
Yes.
And that is a website, a place where you can go purchase all these items. And there is a segment for Honeymooners Podcast where you can go and you can buy some Honeymooners Podcast mugs.
Mugs.
The rock glasses.
Rocks glasses, yeah.
Rocks glasses. Four of them with all the different quotes from the drinking scene. Pour away mine hosts.
Table ain't level. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Table ain't level. And then my favorite, which is the bath mat that says, what does it say, Lou?
I practice in the bathtub.
So go to thegoods.fun. You can check out all other great items, but go to the Honeymooners Podcast section and order some. And you can get it delivered. And what will happen is they'll write, deliver it.
Deliver it.
Yeah, exactly. And then they will do it. So, and with that, we start with our new bit.
The Honeymooners Podcast now presents... Here's an item. This is where we have one of our lusciously lovely listeners present some material for this prestigious, proficient program. Oh dear, I've dribbled all over myself. And now, without any more ado...
Here's an item.
Okay. We're going to start off this Here's an Item with a unique thing. Michael Bruce left us a voicemail.
Yes.
We have not heard it. We're going to play it with you and listen to it live with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to you very live.
Coming to you very live.
Coming to you very live. But real quick, I just want to share a quick exchange because Michael sent me a text saying that he was sending me the voicemail. So I just have to read this real quick. It's hilarious. I'll be sending in a few minutes. And then, of course, he puts, reach up a little.
Reach up.
The voicemail is now loading into your email, Alice. And now there was some sort of issue with
it. Yeah, he had an issue, yeah.
So he put, of course, my computer decides to crash while it's doing that. So now I have to restart it. 365 days a year, my computer has to crash today. And I asked, did you put your hand out to show that you were making a left turn? And he put, well, I thought I had my computer glasses on, but my wife pointed out that I had my driving glasses on. So therefore, the computer crashing is actually my fault. And I put, this is just so funny that we do this. And only the people that are listening and all of us understand how hilarious this is.
Yes.
That we can do this.
This would
in
make
everyday
no
life.
Sense to anyone.
Nobody. No
like if somebody randomly just threw this on and then, like, what are they talking about?
Yes.
We got everybody out in raccoondom.
Right.
Understands it 100%.
And then he finishes off with this. Okay, finally, it looks like it went through. So check your email and see if it's there. I'm glad that you sent me your new Gmail address. I was ready to send it to womensauxiliary@AOL.com. Because you're normally very old-fashioned with old-fashioned ideas. Okay, so without further ado, we are now going to play Michael Bruce's voicemail and listen along with you. And Michael Bruce, of course, is member of the executive committee. Here we go.
I'm going to go out for some air.
It's a little long.
Hey, Joe and Lou, Michael Bruce here. What's going on? Thought I'd call in on this fine, sunny Friday. It's 8:12-something p.m. I don't know. Burger King stopped cooking hamburgers, so I lost track of what time it is. But thought I would call in and point out something, actually, that Steve Franchi, executive board member Steve Franchi, pointed out on the great, if you have the Facebook, as some people say, the great Honeymooners podcast group page, which, of course, all of us full-grown nuts congregate. And he pointed out it was National Donut Day. That's right, National Donut Day.
Yes.
And through the use of high spy technology, that's right, I said high spy technology because I want to point out the fact that Steve Franchi does not read Dick Tracy just to pass the time of day. He uses it for other criminal purposes. And so he was able to use that technology to grab some very secret photos of the great August Gunther. That's right, our beloved August Gunther, the maker of the famous Gunther donuts. And sad to say that I saw in the photo that he grabbed that he had on a Dunkin' Donuts smock and he had a box of Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow.
And the first thing I thought of was things like traitor, turncoat,
Benedict Arnold.
And it was very upsetting. I mean, we thought for sure that, you know, this was all his famous secret recipe and he wrote down all of his good points and bad points and was able to climb the ladder. But turns out we're going to have to report to Ralph that it was a farce and that he was using Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, Mrs. Stevens knew all along that it wasn't his own recipe. It was Dunkin' Donuts recipe that he was using. So anyway, it was a little disappointing. And but listen, I give Steve credit for the photo. I know Steve practices in the bathtub. That's how he got good at using the spy technology. And so that's that. You can check it out on the group page because the proof, flub. There's a flub that the proof is there. I could prove it. I put my finger up in the air. Proof. And I would like to point out one other thing. I thought I had a twos theory on my hand, but as it turns out, I have a two or more. Or as we like to say, two or more less than four.
Which is three.
And it's not quite a stretched twos, which is our new category we came
yes,
up with today.
We came up
that
this
but
morning.
This two or more less than four is the fact that I always thought that Kiss at Madison Square Garden in 1977 played two sold-out shows in a row in December. But as it turns out, they played three sold-out shows. Three times McGillicuddy was there to see Kiss at the Garden in December. So Ron Albanese, two or more less than four on Kiss at the Garden. Anyway, have a great day. Have a great podcast. And RX.
Michael Bruce.
Michael Bruce is a lunatic. yes. If you want to know what it takes to be an executive member, that is what it takes.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Almost what Ricky Ricciardi did. But thank you, Michael Bruce. Very timely, of course, because of the day being the National Donut Day. All right. So now we're going to continue with some here's and items. And I have, here we go. We have one from Rob Napolitano,
right,
who was full grown up
last week.
Here we go. Hey, Jew and Louie. Joe and Louie. Me again. I finally caught up, went through all 161 episodes since late January. So the chips are down. I'm ready to go. Icebox. Just like the dresser, another silent cast member, except for one thing. It is never used correctly. In a traditional icebox, the ice block is always stored in the top compartment, and the food is stored in the lower.
Right, 'cause cold goes down.
That's true. It works through natural convection. The ice sits in the top compartment. The cold air it creates is heavier, so it falls to the lower compartments. The warm air below is lighter and rises back up to the ice to be cooled again. This natural circulation keeps the icebox cold. Aw, heck. For all you nuts, simply put, just think of it as a flow from the Dynaflow. So whether it's the load of fried chicken, Norton's parcel, or Teddy's rummaging around way in the back there, or just the upfront stuff that will do, they never use the lower compartment as it should be used. Regarding the loudspeaker, I sent an email a while back disagreeing with the status quo that Gleason butchered his joke along with my reasons why, happy to rescind. But to reinforce my pernt, an episode in The Lost where Ralph has World Series tickets that conflict with his sister-in-law's weddings, mm-hmm. He perfectly pronounces Sir Lancelot. Also a few flubs I don't recall hearing. In Palomine, when Norton needs a recommendation, he tells Alice he needs a recommend.
Recommend.
Cuts the proper word short. I bet you he did that for comedic mm-hmm. purposes,
yeah.
Right? In Worrywart, when Norton suggests Ralph's stance on the 18th Amendment, Ralph mispronounces prohibition as prohibition.
Prohibition.
Definitely
yeah.
for comedic mm-hmm. effect.
Yeah.
In Hello Mom, Louis' favorite episode,
yes.
Ralph tells
for
Alice
24 minutes.
asks Alice why he's always got to put his foot in it as opposed to in his mouth. But it's at the end, so no chance Louis would have heard that. So that's all for now, guys. Be back soon. RX, Manalapan, Rob. I don't know that last part.
Well,
do you know what he's referencing?
I don't know.
Like,
I'll have to look at it.
I always got to put his foot in it. Now I'm going
to
have to
go. Let's go back and look at it. Yeah.
And this is obviously him doing his apology thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out. That's very interesting. But of course, great. Here's an item. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
Here's an item done.
All right. Now we have another. Here's an item. We're going to have three total, including Michael Bruce's. His one. So this is from Gregory Springer, another mm-hmm. guy just killing it. Right. Hello, boys. Here's an item I don't know if you've discussed. Now we have, But when Ralph gets laid off in Brother Ralph, he adds up all the bills and they owe that they owe. It comes at $186.32. How in the world are they $182 in debt? Louis always brings that up. And it's fantastic, right?
It's no way.
Ralph says he doesn't buy anything on credit, so they have financial security. The rent is only about $35 a month. Their utility bills are apparently all less than $1 a month. They have no car payments. Credit cards weren't around back then. And I'm pretty sure they're not paying off any college loans. I don't think Ralph went to NYU or Columbia. And this is where it gets good. So where does all the debt come from? It might be fun to speculate on why Ralph is in the hole. Here are a couple of possibilities, but I'm sure you guys can come up with others. One, still paying off the music store for all the sheet music he bought trying to win a $99,000 answer. Owes taxes on the parking lot he bought next to the drive-in movie theater.
That's right.
Another one, still owes the warehouse for the 2,000 handy housewife helpers, and he's run up a big tab in Frytag's Deli. Keep up the great work, guys. I don't know why, but this stuff never gets old. RX, Greg Springer. I don't know why either.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
There's only one time Ralph does say, when the one with the arterial monochromia.
Right.
When he says about the icebox to Alice, when she starts laughing, he goes, you know, well, you see, when you got to make the payments on the icebox.
When you got to finish the payments on the icebox.
It's the only time he's ever referred to
having
some kind of debt.
Debt being owed.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
And how much could that be?
On the ice, what could they be paying on this thing?
It's great. And I love it because it's so flawed.
Yeah.
It's almost like the whole thing is trapped.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing is flawed.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderfully flawed.
Yeah.
It's great.
Better.
Okay, cool.
100%. Better. That was an internal thing.
Yes. All right. Another here's an item. This is from, I have his email, but it's Mike Ossip.
Okay, Mike Ossip.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Joe and Lou, thanks for the two shout-outs in the latest podcast, episode 161. I was humbled to hear my name twice during the episode. So much so that I immediately went outside of my house to stand under a street lamp. But I learned something. Everybody on my street is obviously jealous because no one told me they heard me on the podcast. But I will keep trying to hit the high note, and maybe one day I will be chosen to open the first clam at the annual clam bake, or perhaps even get the honor of being buried in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Well, you got to be full grown out of the week first.
Yes, exactly.
You're in there, though.
You are.
Hang in there.
Yeah, yeah. If I were to be given that honor, I don't know. If I were to be given that honor, I don't know if I would want to live or die. Thank you. God, I can't read. Seriously, it's a thrill to listen to you guys discuss these episodes in such detail. I am glad I am able to contribute in some small way to the fun. Hopefully the 9 other poor guys who also listen to the pod feel the same way. RX Mike Ossip.
He was listening.
Yeah,
he was listening.
Exactly.
Right there.
You were listening, Mike. Okay. And the last thing I want to do for Here's an Item is Tony Pal. Markowski. He's got a trivia question. And he's got it perfectly because in the way he emailed, we can't see the answer.
Okay.
And here it is. Gentlemen, as always, great work on the podcast. I was listening to episode 160, and you were talking about the Alice and the Blonde episode. My question is this. What night of the week is the scene taking place?
Okay.
Now, I know you were saying...
Well, off the top of my head, that's something you have to go back, listen to.
Right.
And kind of research it.
And you know what you were saying beforehand, what you have to listen to. When Norton is saying, I know we came home late.
Late night before and the night before that.
Right.
So we have to.
And then he hits him.
Yeah.
Kind of like to shut him up.
Shut him
gets
up.
Nothing,
no laugh.
Nobody,
no laugh.
No laughs or anything like that. So do you want to take a guess?
Dusty out in that hole. That gave me a little time there.
Because I think I saw it when I first read it.
The night before and the night before that. So that's. Now he's. According to. Mr. Bartfeldt, and he's busy on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
Right.
So they came home 2 consecutive nights late.
Right.
So I'm going to say this is a Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
So this is Saturday night, so that means it would be the next day would be the night that they were at Burt's. So you're saying Sunday?
No, I'm saying they're at Burt's Saturday.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
they came home late two
on
nights
Friday.
In a row. Friday, and he said the night before.
Gotcha.
It'd be Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
So I'm saying it's going to be Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Gotcha. Here's the answer. Norton says, we apologize for coming home late tonight and last night and Friday night ditto, meaning this must be Sunday night, an odd night for a Raccoon Lodge meeting. Hmm. Now, I'm going to pose this to everybody, and let's see if we can confirm this.
Right.
Let's confirm.
Okay.
So Norton says, we apologize for coming home late tonight and last night and Friday night ditto. So wouldn't that mean tonight, last night, and Friday night? So wouldn't tonight, this be Sunday tonight, and the next night would be Monday?
Yeah, tonight.
Or he's saying that night is Sunday. See, I'm
unless he could be referring Friday to the week before, these two consecutive ones, and Friday. Maybe they came home on Friday the week before.
Friday the week before.
And this is also a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something you got to actually put this on paper and figure this out.
All right, somebody get a protractor.
Yeah, and a compass.
And a compass and a calculator, and we'll figure this out. But great trivia question, Tony
Powell.
Good
one, Tony Powell.
Thank you. All right. That is it for Here's an
Items.
Tony,
not Tom.
Oh, okay, that's right. Tony Powell.
That is Tom.
All right, so that is our Here's an Item, and for any newbies that are listening, that's how Here's an Item works. It could be very short, it could be a little long, but that's what Here's an Item is. And of course, go to Honeymooners, if you want to email us, go to honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com.
Go ahead.
Aren't they ancient?
Yes. Just a way to kind of
sneak one like
in.
It. Yeah.
All right, cool. So now we go into our next bit, which is one of the more favorites of the show. And where
it's favorite of Ron Albany.
Favorite of Ron's. Understandably, it's his. And here we go.
The Honeymooners podcast now presents, to Joe Conte's dismay and abject horror, the Ron Albanese Twos Theory.
Oh. No one would have a need for two of those.
No! And of course, this is our Twos Theory, which was created and came out of that little brain, came out of the brain of Ron Albanese. So, and you'll see how the Twos Theory works. And what was I was just about to say. Oh, and that, of course, is the voice Dave Ingram doing the introduction.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, the voice. All right, cool.
We have Dave working on a couple other ones.
Yes. Yep. We're going to have Dave work on a few more. Louis, I know you got a couple of twos from some of our listeners.
From our listeners, we have Neil Clipper.
Neil Clipper, the clip.
There he goes. Here he goes. There are only two episodes where Norton intentionally removes his hat. Ooh. Not including where it falls off, like when he faints. And all
when he faints, right. Yep.
In the number one, in the pool scene at Mr. Marshall's house, my house, when Ed suggests the butler that he just got it blocked when he hands him the hat.
That's right. So
he says, I just had it blocked.
So for the rest of the scene, he's not wearing
a hat. Yeah. He says, careful, I just had it blocked.
Just had it blocked.
Now, in Bert Wiedemeyer's house in Alice and the Blonde, when he puts it in the spare room with his and Ralph's coats, because he walks in, he walks out without
the hat. Right.
There you go. So that's
that's a
great twos.
That's
right
a great twos.
That's a great twos.
If it's correct, even if it's not, it's almost like the two times that he purposely took his hat off and kept it off.
Yes, because he basically had to.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't even remove his hat in the safety award.
No,
remember?
He doesn't. No.
When Alice keeps going hat, and all he does is puts the brim down. Like
I know. Like he's like he's doing angels without faces.
Yeah. It's like
Don't tag me.
Mr. Faberge.
You dirty rat.
All right, another one here.
Okay.
From our friend Pete Abruzzese.
Ah, Pete Abruzzese. And I like how he describes this. Go ahead.
He goes, I can't believe I'm even writing this, but I think I may have a twos theory.
Okay.
Ralph says, have a good time with disdain twice.
Okay.
Once in the babysitter. When Alice goes to the movies.
And he thinks she's going to see Andre.
And once in Oh My Aching Back, when Alice leaves to go to her mother's.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
When
have a good time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was mad because he wasn't going to be able to go bowling.
Bowling, yeah.
Right. So it wasn't the first time. It was the second time when he just, I hope you have a,
he says, he also
have a good
says
time.
Here, he also says here, in parentheses, I almost hope I'm wrong as I despise the two series.
Yeah, that, you know what that is, people? That's like when you're busting your French chops and you're making fun of your friend. Yeah. You only do it because you love him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, two.
But that was great, Pete. That was really good. Both of them are good.
Both
Neil,
fantastic.
And Pete, guys came up.
They came out swinging.
Yeah, came out swinging.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. That's how the twos theory works. And, of course, you can just email us.
That's
and
right.
I'm not going to do that again. All right. I have a question, a twos theory question.
Oh, okay.
And my question is, does Ed say Ralph is one of nature's noblemen twice? And that's my question I pose to you and to the nuts.
Okay. I only remember once.
Once. Okay.
You're one of nature's. I only remember it once.
In, obviously, the loudspeaker.
The loudspeaker.
Okay. And my second questionable, too, is the name Judy used twice? Of course, Judy Connors.
Judy Connors.
And isn't there, and I'm posing this to you guys because I think I mentioned this to Louie. Is there a line when he does like the punching Judy and you're going to be Judy? That's a lost. Okay.
That is a lost episode.
Okay. All right. That's, I thought, and I just.
Oh, and sorry. A great Car 54 episode, Puncher and Judy.
Puncher and Judy.
It's great. Sherry Lewis is in it. Rocky Graziano. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Oh, my God. I got to see
and
this.
And the Honeymooner connection. We discussed this a while back.
Yes.
Frank Giuseppe is also in it.
Now,
we all know Frank Giuseppe is. If you remember Bill Davis in front of Madison Square Garden with all the billboards behind him.
That is
Frank Giuseppe's name is on one of those fight cards.
No way.
Yes.
Okay.
And he also shows up in this episode, which is a really good, funny episode.
That's great.
Yeah.
This just gave me an idea. A million dollar idea. What if we come up with a bit that people can send in, and I don't know, I would have to come up with a name and then give Dave a call.
Verily.
Honeymooner ties. Other shows connection. Maybe a Honeymooner's connection. Like that.
Oh,
that
a big cut. Oh, what's it? Thelma was in one the other night. Martha's in one. They pop up all over the place. I can't mention his name because he's got something to do with the trivia. So he's in it too.
Right. And it could be anything.
Anything.
You know,
Sid Zelenka writing some of the Car 54s?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So there, right, you just said a Honeymooner's connection.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make this into a bit. Mm-hmm. And that would be an
idea,
you know.
Good idea for people to write in. So I saw so and so. I mean, how many times do you see on our group page people flashing faces of Marth? He's like all over the place.
All over the place.
You know,
and
it could Ted be, Lynch.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, just like every other bit, it starts out very generic.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everybody gets very creative in what they do. And this is going to be a new bit.
Maxie Rosenblum is in the Munsters.
There you go. That is exactly it. It was, yes, exactly. Or somebody mentioned something that is a direct Honeymooner's connection. Thank you, but... Wait, hold on.
Wait, put your glasses on.
I got to do this. Okay. I know. It's gonna take forever, but
no,
I don't
okay.
care.
We don't care.
I just have time. I need to do
time
this.
Time and tide. Wait for no man.
Yes, and here it is.
You just gave me $1 million idea.
I just came up with a new bit.
There
this
you
is
go. Gonna
That's be
it.
Fun. And hopefully I'll get it for next episode.
Yeah.
And
we'll work on an intro from Dave.
Yeah.
We'll work
on
some kind of intro.
Some sort of intro.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
All right. Good stuff.
Absolutely. All right, people. Now we're getting into a little bit of fun, something we haven't done in a very, very long time. I'm going to say...
Say something funny.
Probably. See, you could say that
you
to
think
us.
You could say that.
Anybody else, then we're going to go... We're going to have to step outside. Even if they're wearing a brand
new
suit. All right. Some of you may have never even heard this if you picked up
on
the show late.
Yeah, you picked up late, Joe. That's
right.
And
didn't go back.
That's right.
You might have never heard this intro.
That's right.
Here we go.
The Honeymooners Podcast presents Whatever Happened To... The boys go deep into their shallow minds and try to imagine what would have happened to certain situations in the show if the episode had a to be continued or a part two. Yeah, I know. Joe and Louie need real jobs. And now here's Whatever Happened To.
Nice. And for those of you who don't know, that is not Dave Ingram doing an American accent.
Yeah, really. That wasn't Dave Ingram in his preteens. That was...
That's Joe Fernandez.
Great Joe Fernandez.
Yeah.
That shows you how old this is, that Joe Fernandez did our intro.
Yeah, exactly.
This is one of the very first intros.
One of the very first intros. This and Flub of the Week. Yep, both done by Joe.
Joe Fernandez.
Absolutely. And Joe, if you guys don't know, Joe was at the first two conventions.
Conventions, yeah.
Didn't want to come up on stage. And Joe is a great friend of mine, and he's a comedian, and he's hilarious. If you want to look him up, it's Joe Fernandez with an S
Portuguese.
Yep. So, Whatever Happened To. And what's great is I have no idea.
I didn't tell Joe.
And I forgot. I will go.
Yeah, I'll just say it's from the Bensonhurst Bomber.
That's right. Which is, I know what, that's okay. 20, hem and a half.
495.
Yeah, I think it's 27.
Okay.
All right, cool.
All right, so here it is. What's the title of this again?
whatever happened to it.
It's been so long.
Let me see.
Okay.
I'm just going
to key it up, Joe, just in case. We really don't need much, but, you know, everybody knows this song, but we may play it anyway at the end just because it's just to hear them.
Absolutely.
Anything better than hear us. So, whatever happened to all the bets that were made on the fight?
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody must have bet Ralph high because Ed said that he says, word came in from the candy store. That some late money came in on Ralph and knocked the odds down to 500-1. So somebody bet Ralph before that. He must have got 1,000-1.
Right, right.
I mean, Harvey's going off at like 1-10 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
but Ralph is at 500-1. Now, here's also important. What is the decision on this fight? Is it a no contest? Is it a TKO? Is it a forfeit? How does it affect the betting on this fiasco? What would you
absolutely
say? What say you?
All right. Well, it's 37, just in case I want to play a clip of it or something. Well, now the bets was that Ralph wasn't even going to go show up.
Okay.
That was some of the people.
Yeah, some people were betting that.
So people lost that bet.
Lost that. He showed up. Okay.
Now, he won the fight.
Did he win the fight?
Because...
Technically,
yeah,
Harvey forfeits.
He forfeited. So if you bet on Ralph,
you made some good money.
And I want to know who was going to pay him.
Yeah, really. The bookie at the candy store is probably taking, first of all, no bookie is taking 500-1. But
exactly.
500-1.
Exactly.
And you know, these candy guys hanging around. I mean, they're betting on two cockroaches running across the floor. They'll bet on anything. You know, throw a couple bucks down, you know.
Right.
Nothing
big.
It's the thrill of gambling and,
absolutely.
You know.
I know nothing about that, by the way. I didn't lose a car in a poker game when I was 23.
Never happened to you.
That is such a great question.
Yeah, how about that?
Because Ralph showed up.
Showed up.
But they never fought.
Never.
So did Ralph win?
That's what I'm saying. Is this a TKO?
Yeah, because I don't think anybody was going to... Nobody bet that Harvey wasn't going to show up.
Yeah.
It was just...
No, they knew Harvey was going to show up.
Exactly.
And they're betting Harvey to win. They're taking the low odds on Harvey.
Right.
You know, people, you know, just long shot gamblers.
Yeah.
Put a couple of bucks down on Ralph. I mean, at 500-1, what's to put down like $2 or something?
Exactly. You know, to walk away with a grand.
Yeah, really.
Which would be $10,000
on a $20 bet at that time.
I would bet on a chunky guy showing up.
Most likely you're not going to get from him. You're probably only going to get 20-1 max from a book, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know how it worked back then, but that's what you're going to probably
get. But that's just a great question.
Is that something?
Because think about
how is it.
Yeah. It's like he shows up.
Yes.
So those people won.
They won.
But it's like, they never fought. So what happens? Do you get half your money? Would they get half their
bet? No, those
people
lost. He showed up.
Right. But the people that bet on either Ralph winning or Harvey winning, did they push? Did they just have to pay the VIG?
I don't know.
Like, as you know, the bookies always make money.
Money.
You know, especially if you didn't win, but even if you didn't lose. Like, technically,
Well, the thing is, we don't know how it was. The decision was determined. Is it a no contest?
Good.
How great is
this? This is so good.
How great is
it? I want arguments. I want this to be like a political argument on Facebook. I want arguments on who won the bet. What actually was the...
What are the results? How did they determine it?
Yeah.
Forfeit? No contest?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's probably not a technical knockout because they never went into the ring.
Right, right.
How was it determined?
And did anybody bet that he hit him with his bad hand?
Bad hand.
What a great whatever happened.
Whatever
to
happened.
I hope this sparks some of you guys to come up with some whatever happened to
happened
questions.
To, yeah.
What a, I love it.
I mean, we, like I said, this is an old bit that we did back in the day all the time.
Oh yeah,
we loved whatever happened to. Like Absolutely. We did like the you know whatever happened to the. Movie theater, or whatever happened. We did it. There's a couple episodes way back in the 60s that are really funny. I don't know exact numbers, but they were in the 60s, and we did whatever
like,
happens to.
Episode 60-something.
60-something, whatever it was.
And we did a bunch of
them. Yeah, we did them in like consecutive because it was fresh then.
Right, exactly.
So
it was where our brains were at.
Yeah.
And now we have
expanded. And we had a lot of material. And of course, we're dealing in a limited 39, so
things
end. You know, you just basically cover like flub of the week.
Yeah,
those
type
covered,
of things.
You know, stuff like that.
Oh, what a great question!
Good because there's no definite answer to this. It's just it's just argument and
absolutely
and thought and opinion.
Yeah, and then of course asking you guys to be clever.
Yeah.
In your answers and funny because you guys are all clever and
clever
funny. Oh. This is awesome. And I had no idea what this was.
Yeah, I didn't tell Joe. I said, I'm not going to tell him.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad there was spontaneity.
Joe, play the little clip there when they're sitting down
at
like
the table.
Smiling
right?
at Norton when he comes in. Smiling at Norton at the camp at the Benson. Yeah,
absolutely.
Play that little clip there.
Who is it? It's me, Ralph McQuarrie. Let me in there. Oh, hiya, Norton.
You stay there, Ralphie boy.
Joe, stop it right there. Okay. I think we discussed once that Ralph, first of all, Norton gets him into this.
Absolutely. Yep.
Same thing with the golf game. He got Ralph into that.
Michael Bruce's theory.
Yeah.
That, you know.
He gets him into this. And we discussed this another one a long time ago that Ralph's very friendly to Norton here.
Yes.
As if to say, get out. I would have been like, get out. You got me into this.
Right.
Get out. I mean, he threw him out of the pool room.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be,
absolutely,
you know.
Right. But now, and I... Let's go with, you know, scenarios, you know, fantasy. He's so nervous that he's not even angry at
probably,
him.
Because
all he's doing is thinking about this fight. So, and I think we all know, when you're upset about something, some people, yes, you want to be alone. But then sometimes you want somebody around to make you feel a little bit better. And maybe the fact that he comes in, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, maybe Ed will give me an idea.
Yeah, or something like at least a knock on the door. I know it's Ed and it wasn't like Harvey or somebody.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
He'd have been better off before Bibbup.
But, it's a great point. Yeah. And he's not mad at
him. He's not mad at him.
He's scared.
Yeah.
He is scared.
How do you do, folks? This is Smiling Ed Norton talking to you direct from the training quarters of the Bensonhurst Bomber. Would you like to say a few words to your fans out there, Bomber?
Oh, shut up.
That's a good shot.
I love, and not only the shut up, but his, like, continued when he's talking. He's like, hey, I love that. It's so great because he is so joyful. This is, like, fun for him.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's weird. It's fun for him. He's thinking this is hilarious. And Ralph is panicking.
Yeah.
And is it because Ed thinks he'll be able to beat up Harvey? Or is Ed just not really thinking this through?
Well, Ed don't think things through sometimes. Like,
that's true.
He just takes things on the surface and he doesn't realize.
Yeah. The severity.
Yeah. He doesn't realize where Ralph's head is right now.
Yeah. How could you not know that your friend is scared of this big bully?
Right.
Why would you put yourself in?
This is great.
This is great. Here we go.
Boy, I'm telling you, you ought to hear the guys talking on the pool room. They're all excited about this fight, and they're betting on it and everything. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be a beautiful fight. And I got some news for you that'll make you feel pretty proud.
Yeah, pretty proud.
Pretty proud.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to feel pretty proud. Yeah, they're actually betting you're not going to show up. How proud are you?
Some word came in direct from the candy store a little while ago.
Now, candy stores.
Candy stores, bookie joints. So it's like, it was like a cover-up. Oh, they weren't there to sell Clark bars.
No rock candy?
No. There was more stuff going on in the back room. And
big donuts?
Yeah, big donuts.
Pretzels.
Egg creams.
Some late money came in backing you and knocked the odds down to 500 to 1.
Now, the audience laughs at that.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're saying knocked it down to 500 to 1,
right,
which is ridiculous.
Right.
But they're thinking, oh, wow, knocked it down to 500 to 1 that he's going to actually win the fight. And then the real joke happens when he goes, no, they're betting that you're even going to show up.
Yeah.
It's just great.
You mean they're betting 500 to 1 that I lose?
Lose nothing. They're betting 500 to 1 that you don't even show up.
Well, you better grab a piece of that bet because they're so right. You think I'm going up to that Kelsey's gym, you're crazy.
What do you mean you're not going?
Just what I said. I'm not going.
You gotta go. All the boys are talking about that. They're betting on it and everything, like I said.
That's what he's concerned about. He's concerned about the guys.
They're
betting on it.
You gotta show up.
You gotta go there and get your face kicked in. The guys are betting on it.
It's so ridiculous.
And this is where Ed is truly, because out of the two of them, Ed is more of the sensitive one.
Yeah.
And he has more compassion in the heat of moments.
Right.
He's showing zero awareness and zero compassion for his friend.
None at all.
And how do you not know? He's going in, like he said, why'd you go pick a fight with the big guy over there? And he's showing zero compassion for his friend. I love it.
This is the big thing. Do you realize that they're closing the pool hall tonight just so that all the boys can go over there and watch the fight? This is a big thing in your life, Ralph. You're going
big thing in their life. Does he say their life or his life?
You know what? I just thought of, I don't know. Let's hear it. Big thing in
their life?
I'm going to guess.
Okay. Everything, like I said, this is a big thing. Do you realize that they're closing the pool hall tonight just so that all the boys can go over there and watch the fight? This is a big thing in your life, Ralph.
I think it's their life.
Their life.
I think it's their life. Yeah. Big thing in their life. Big thing in your life. I think it's their life.
Their life. Sounds like their life.
It's a big thing in
their life.
To go watch their friend get into a fight.
Get destroyed.
Oh, this is absolute gold.
Some of your friends down? Shifty? Red? Nutsy?
I don't care about them.
Nutsy's going to the fight, Ralph. Nutsy! A guy who hasn't missed a night in the pool room in all his life. Nutsy! He's the guy that went right over to the pool room after his wedding. Not the same night.
This is a big night. Do you realize they're closing the pool hall in your honor tonight? Let's face it, Norton. If I fight that hobby tonight, tomorrow night, they'll be closing the pool hall in my memory.
Great line.
That line. And he delivers it so perfect. Concise, crisp. Like, almost like he rehearsed it, which we know he didn't. But still.
Yeah, we did. We don't.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Nutsy. Go ahead.
Our pal.
Our friend of ours.
Yep.
So this is how long back we went with this, because we mentioned this years and years ago.
Yep.
A friend of ours knew Nutsy's son.
Yep.
Nutsy is a real person.
It's crazy.
From over here in New Jersey, in Orange somewhere. I believe it's Orange, New Jersey.
Okay.
And because Richie's from Orange.
Right.
And
that's right.
So Nutsy is a real person. And Richie knew his son, and his son explained to him the story with Nutsy and Gleason.
Isn't that great? It's so awesome.
Using his name.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
It's just awesome. And think about the small world thing.
Yeah.
Like our pal, who we used to work with
mm-hmm.
and we've known forever, and we do this podcast, and he was friends with the Nutsy's son.
Son.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's something. Here you go.
Take that, haters. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. There are no haters who listen to the show, except for maybe one, but that's all right.
Ron don't count.
You know I'm not talking about Ron. But that is phenomenal, dude.
Yes.
Whatever happened to. Hey, this dog whistle. Any of you guys got any whatever happens to? And look, even if it's something that we did.
It's like I said, we did
400 episodes ago.
I remember. We're still, the 20th of this month is our 7th.
Yes.
Our 7th anniversary.
Yep.
So we talk about a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about a lot of things in the early years.
Yep. From our first episode, June 20th, 2019. And it will be our, 2019.
Yeah, 19, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it's our seventh year. Starting our seventh year.
So we talked about a lot of things.
A lot of things. And
we're
all
right. Early days.
We're all right with rehashing.
Oh, we don't care.
What we already know.
We're running out of, stuff anyway. So.
Oh, man. All
for
right.
Those nine people that listen.
The ten.
We pick up one here or there.
All right. Well, then, you know what? Louie, what do you think? We do our last bit?
Yeah, we'll do our last bit.
I think so, right?
I think we're long enough here.
And this is Louie's 182nd favorite bit of the show. And this is sponsored by Lilly Printing.
That's right.
That's our pal Rob Lilly, also known as Brother Norton.
Brother Norton.
And he does all of our printing for all of our posters and banners.
That's right. You've seen his work at the convention.
At the convention. And he does great work, and he has such great prices, and he's as honest as the day is long. So if you want to get anything done, he can create stuff for you, whatever it is, go to lilyprinting.com. And without further ado...
Without any more ado...
Now, Tom, who is our first guest, please?
Herp!
Oh, I forgot the hurdle.
Ready to leap the first hurdle on his way to the $99,000 answer is our
comedian from Tibet, Joe Conti.
Thank you.
He's on his own this week.
Thank you. By myself.
No help. No help. Franchi or
no. I want to see the expression on your face when you miss it. Oh,
picking on me when I'm all by myself. Yeah,
no Franchi here to help him. No Albanese here to help him.
Yeah.
No Michael Bruce. He's on his own.
Kathy Ferber's grandmother's a bully. I hope she listens.
Yeah,
if
me
she
too.
Does, we can't wait to hopefully get to interview you, whether it's on
yes.
the phone or computer or here. But anyway, that's one of our pals who is, I'm blanking out on her name.
Who, Ethel Owen.
Ethel Owen. It's her granddaughter.
Ethel Owen's granddaughter.
Who is part of our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Ferber.
Ferber.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Here we go. I am ready. Louis, I'm gonna get this one.
Okay, you getting it, Joe? Here we go. Probably. All right. This is prepared by?
Oh, Professor Walter Newman.
That's right. Yeah, like they all are. Now, actor John Seymour plays three characters in here.
Okay.
Two are butlers. One is a doctor.
Okay.
What are the names of his characters?
Oh, my God.
He's also he's also a Car 54 guy.
Is he really?
He showed up the other night in the audience.
Is he Seaford?
No.
No, he's not Dr. C. Seaford is but he's also, he's married to Millie.
Married to Millie.
In real life.
In real life. He plays two butlers.
Two butlers.
And a doctor.
Oh my God, I'm failing.
Go back to the to get the butlers.
That's what I'm trying to think of right now. I can picture.
I'll give you a hint.
Your buddy.
Yes,
saying his name to say I'll take no phone calls.
No phone
calls. Can you give me his first initial?
Well, he only has one. Yes.
Oh.
R.
Herbert Bascom. No, that's the attorney.
No.
Oh.
That's Mary Monahan's butler.
That's him. Okay. That's one.
That's Mary Monahan's.
Herbert Bascom.
Bascom.
Mr.
Marshall.
For Marshall, is it only a last name?
Only a last name.
I am totally blanking.
Starts with an R.
Roberts.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, Robert. Okay, now back to the doctor. He was the guy who wanted to make a check.
Yes. Yes, make a check. Apparently, he's a fraudster. I'm going to make a rubber check. Because there's Dr. Seifert, but there's also...
Les Damon was Dr. Seifert.
Les Damon was Dr. Seifert. And
hey, you can't go in there.
Yeah, exactly. If you give me the first initial of the... Is it first name and last name or just
no,
doctor?
No, it's just a doctor. Doctor last name.
It's
not Dr. McDonald. He was the hematologist.
Dr. McDonald. Dr. Seifert. Give me the first initial.
H.
Wow. I'm blanking out. You just got to tell me.
Dr. Hyman.
Dr. Hyman. I wouldn't have got that one. Okay. But once you said it, I got it. That wow.
Good. That's a good question.
That's a great question. That matches whatever you think I made a great what's that sound. Mm-hmm. That is a phenomenal
this is
question.
A good question.
Great question.
Tough. And, tough.
Yeah.
Tough question.
And you know what? I want to ask, did anybody get it?
Yes.
Please.
You know, and don't lie. If you got it, tell us.
Of course.
Don't say yeah, I got it.
Exactly. All right. Especially you, Mark. Especially you, Mark Weissman. No, I'm just kidding. Such a jerk. You know what's great, and I'm just finding my outro and all that kind of stuff. It's great that we actually know some of these guys. First of all, we feel like we know them.
Yeah.
And now it's almost like now we get to break their chops, as you say, and you just feel like you could say anything about these guys.
The thing too, Joe, is that we've met them at the convention.
Yep.
And there's that other bond. We have the online bond with everybody.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then we have the convention bond where we see people physically and you meet them and you basically talking to them. And
it changes. It kind of changes everything.
It does.
And although there are guys that we haven't met, but we talk, we either read their stuff so much, we feel like we know them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
But it's just absolutely fantastic. So how do we, let me see, where are we going to end it? Oh, okay. So now, first of all, I want to thank Silk City Hot Sauce, our sponsor. Mm-hmm. I want to thank my wife.
Your wife.
For not divorcing me and also being the other sponsor, which is the goods.fun. And then, of course, we want to thank Rob Lilly
for
Lilly Printing.
For Lilly Printing.
And
Rob's been doing it a long time.
Absolutely, like 35 years. And
I found out that he actually printed the tablets that Moses took down the mountain in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to 7.
That's a great show.
Yeah,
music, by the way. Maybe we should do stand up. You want to do my spot tonight?
No, it's
I don't
okay.
feel like driving down there tonight.
Matt, Joe, could you imagine somebody heckling me?
I wouldn't even want to think of it.
Oh my God.
The verbal. Oh my God. It would just. You would be on page 6 of any of those rag magazines. It would be like breaking news on TMZ, comedian Louis Fats and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the awful things that you would say. So you know what? Thanks to, and I'm going to try to do this a little bit more. Thanks to Ricky Riccardi.
Yes.
First of all, for doing
a great
job.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Full grown nut of the week.
Deservedly so.
Thanks to Gregory Springer. Thanks to Michael Bruce for his voicemail. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Robert Nabolitano for his Here's an Item. The twos. Who did the twos?
We had Pete Apruzzese and Neil Clipper.
Absolutely. So thank all of you guys. Thank you for all of you who post on our Facebook thing. Email us. Comment on the Facebook group. And all of you full-grown nuts and all future full-grown nuts
right.
in the fraternity, share episodes of the show to your friends, whether it's a YouTube or some of the little teensy-weensy things.
Yeah,
that I'm
itsy-bitsy ones,
I'm going to start putting them up even more as I make more teensy-weensy pieces of the podcast. And share them on your social media page or share them directly with your pals in the sewer or at the bus depot. And if you want to follow me on all my social media, I put up silly videos every single day. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. It's Joe Conte Comic. And for me and Louis Fats, we say we'll see you next time.
E pluribus raccoonum. Night all.
Good night.
Good night.
You.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.